think they got so much money this morning they don't know what to do with it. Before I go any further, for all of you, I'd like to say a special thanks for your love and support in the last year. And for every card and every gift, every expression of your love, I thank you. And I especially thank Michael for letting me preach today. It's been a long time since I preached on Christmas Day. And it is a joy to be here with you. And I want you to turn with me to a familiar passage in Luke's Gospel, 2nd chapter, verses 8 through 17. There were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, one of the comics this morning, the little boy is not wanting to go to bed on Christmas Day. His father said, "You've been up since 6 this morning. It's 10 o'clock. Now it's time for you to go to bed. Christmas is over." He said, "But it's just begun." And I think he has the better picture. It is not over. It's just begun. And I want us to think about the good news of Christmas. There are so many things to occupy our time at Advent and Christmas. There's decorating that has to be done, cards that must be addressed and sent, presents that must be bought and wrapped, and some of them mailed. And of course, there's all the cooking and baking that has to be done, traveling for many. For many, the entire season is such a rush that instead of being good news, it becomes a stressful time, tiring time, that they're glad when it's over. If we become so busy that we have no time to really think of the wonder and the joy of Christmas, we lose its meaning for our lives. What then is the Christmas message? What is the gospel of Christmas? If we look at this passage I just read from Luke's gospel, we find four elements of good news. The first word of the message is, "Fear not, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." As you know, the shepherds were out on the hills taking care of their sheep. Perhaps they'd built a small fire and were standing around it warming themselves as they talked of things that concerned them and as they watched their sheep. And suddenly, with no warning, there appeared an angel of the Lord. We can only imagine the glory and radiance that shone around the shepherds. It's no wonder that they were greatly afraid. I expect they were nearly scared to death. I know I would have been. Then came the first word of the angel. "Fear not, don't be afraid." All of us know fear. That's true of all of us without exception. We know what it is. And I still remember this line. When I graduated from high school, I had to give a speech on fear. And I defined it as a painful emotion caused by a sense of impending danger or evil. We all know that. Fear. A sense of danger. Impending danger or evil. When God came seeking in Adam and Eve in the garden after the sin, Adam says, "I was afraid." All people since then could at one time or another make the same statement. Modern psychologists have charted fear from A to Z. From acrophobia, the fear of heights, to zoophobia, the fear of animals. We all have our fears. Someone has said the real victory over fear is not anything we can do or even anything a minister or a psychologist can do for us, but it's some sign given by the universe that these deep yearnings of which our fears are met, but the broken signs are known and satisfied. And Christmas is the proof that such a sign has been given, that God, the Creator, the Sustainer of all the universe, has invaded human history to meet our every need. And through His Son, Jesus, we no longer need to live in fear. We can live in faith. We place our trust in Christ, assured that He can take any possible event or circumstance and work within it for good to those who love Him. Fear not. This is the Bible's most frequent command. I haven't counted them. Someone said that the command, fear not, don't be afraid, same thing, appears 365 times in the Scriptures. One time for every day of the year. You can get up in the morning and claim one of those. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Live in faith. Martin Luther put it well in his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, when he wrote, and though the world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God His will, His triumph, His truth to triumph through us. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Fear not. Fear not. This is the first word. And then the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, or glorious news of great joy. None of us like to carry bad news. Sooner or later, every one of us has to carry some bad news to somebody. I remember my first confrontation with death. I was about 6 years of age, and I had I called her my black mommy, but Aunt Mary Liza was one who helped my mother raise me. She was sick, and we had visited her on Sunday, and on Monday, and my dad gave me some ice cream. He worked at the creamery. He gave me some ice cream to take over to Aunt Mary Liza's. And on the way to her home, I met her son coming down the road, and we stopped, and he told me that his mother had died. And I gave him the ice cream, and then I went back and stopped at the creamery and told my dad, and then went home and told Mother. She and I sat down and cried together. We don't like to carry bad news. My first year in the ministry, I had a preacher come and preach in a revival, and I got word that week that his father had died suddenly, unexpectedly, and I had to carry that bad news. We don't like to carry bad news. But the message of Christmas is good news of great joy. We like to share good news. Let a child win an award, do well in school, become a star athlete, or excel at anything, and how eager parents are to share the good news. Ask almost any grandparent about their grandchildren and just be ready. A lady that comes and sprays for bugs around my house, the last time she was there, something was said about grandchildren, and she reached in the pocket and she pulled out a stack of pictures, at least 25 or 30 pictures. She had to show me of this little grandbaby. We like to share good news. We're eager to chew it. But the shepherds, they went out and made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And when you and I hear the good news of Christmas and appropriate it for ourselves, that we have found the Christ and found it to be true, we too must tell others. The gospel of Christmas makes people sing. Atheism has no jubilant anthems. Skepticism sings no carols. When we accept the good news of great joy that the angel proclaimed, we break forth into singing. Good news. Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy. The third thing, which shall be to all people. Good news of great joy for all people. Many things are good news for one and at the same time bad news for another. A politician wins a race, and that's good news for him, but it's bad news for his opponent. I understand there's a football game going to be played in a few days, somewhere down in New Orleans, I think it is. And when that game is over, there's going to be tremendous good news for a bunch of folks and tremendous bad news for others. And that's the way it usually is, or many times it is. Good news for one is bad news for another. While one is sad, the other is weeping. Or think of a courtship, if you would, while two young men are both interested in the same young lady. And one day she responds to one's proposal of marriage, and it brings him great joy. But to the other, there's only sadness and grief. Minister told years ago of having a wedding where he used the old term in the wedding vows, if anyone here can show just cause why these two should not be legally joined together, and let him speak now, forever hold his peace. And the old man stood up in the back of the church, waved his hand, said, "I object." He said, "What's your objection?" He said, "I want it for myself." Good news for one. It's all bad news for the other. But the gospel of Christmas is good news for all people. For all people. The shepherds represent the poor and the needy. They were at the bottom of the social caste. They were at the bottom of the economic ladder. But it was good news for them. The wise men, maybe astrologers, maybe astronomers, maybe kings, as we sometimes sing, but they were among the wealthy because they brought gifts, precious gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were wealthy, intellectual, but it was good news for them, for all of us. Regardless of our rank or station in life, regardless of our race, regardless of all conditions, this message is good news for everyone to hear and accept. Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Well, what is this good news of Christmas? Unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Can you try to imagine how this sounded to the shepherd's ears? A Savior? Well, we have been told that Messiah was coming, but we really didn't know. We wondered about it. After all, we surely didn't think that God would care for the likes of us. That He would make His announcement to us. I think God, in all of His love, came to the poor shepherds in all the wonder and the glory, and they knew that it was really true. But they said, "Let's go see. Let's see this thing which has come to pass." And they left their sheep. They were forgotten. They hastened into Bethlehem and found just what they had told, a baby in a manger, Christ the Lord. The wonder, all the reverence that gripped them, and they know it's true. They leave the stable, but before they return to their sheep, they run through the streets of the city to proclaim to all who would listen the good news for all people. And it's still true today. I like the picture, I've used it several times, but God has walked down the stairway of heaven with a baby in His arms. The greatest gift the world has ever known. And He places that gift of love into the hearts of all who will receive Him. It doesn't matter what we have been, what successes we've had. It doesn't matter what failures we've had. It doesn't matter what sins we've committed. It doesn't matter what honor we've gained. Where people have room for Jesus in their heart, the dear Christ enters in. When He comes, He doesn't leave us as we were, but He makes us new creatures, new people. The old is past and gone, the new has come. He takes away everything that causes us pain and sadness and gives us joy. He takes away our despair and gives us hope. He takes away our fear and gives us confidence for every tomorrow that we might be privileged to live. It's truly good news of great joy for all people. And today, each of us can accept anew God's greatest gift for all people and know the true wonder of Christmas. The words of Phillips Brooks, familiar to you all, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.